question of monetary dealings. The word is mu'amalat. Mu'amalat refers to a person's business dealings, monetary dealings. This is mu'amalat. Other word is ma'amulat. Ma'amulat refers to our amal that we carry out daily. That's ma'amulat. This is mu'amalat. Yesterday we had discussed in regards to usury, interest, riba, and the evil effects of iba, of riba, interest. Today we begin the discussion on oppression of riba and the morality of Islam. At its core, usury is a type of financial oppression. It is a system where the rich increase their wealth at the expense and suffering of the poor. The rich stay permanently rich and the poor become increasingly poor and enslaved to their creditors. A poor person who wants to enrich himself approaches a wealthy person to request a loan. The wealthy person should accede to the request of his poor brother and grant him the loan as a token of humanity and brotherly support. However, instead he wishes to benefit from the poor person's misfortune and charges him a certain percent of interest, 15% for example. Whether this poor person enters into a profitable business venture or not, the creditor wants a guaranteed return of 15%. Every month this poor person delays in repayment, the interest amount compounds and increases manyfold. It is not long before the interest amount surpasses even the principal amount. We know about it, how the banks work, and now we have the loan sharks also. The poor person who has no other means of finance or support is sinking further and further into a downward spiral of death. In the meantime, his so-called brother is becoming richer and richer from the inability of this poor person to pay his debt. This is clear tyranny and zulm. And we know about it. It's in our families, around the society. And who suffers the most? The wife, the children. For years they're coming out like this, trying, just battling, coming up. My own Muslim brother, blood brother, Masjid brother, mashallah, he's coming up. And he's just coming up, and he's just coming up, and I'm becoming a zakat case, and going further down. This is not the system of Islam. This is a brotherhood, where we help one another, we pick up one another. So it's a whole different system when it comes to Sharia and Deen, and when it comes to the kufar system. And together with this to understand, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ فَمَا الَّذِينَ فُضِّلُوا بِرَادِ رِزْقِهِمْ Allah Ta'ala states clearly, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a few virtue over others in regards to sustenance. Allah gave the virtue. Not that you made the money. Allah says, Allah faddala. Allah made it like this. That He made some more affluent and some not so affluent. Reason being, نَحْنَ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشٌ فِي حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Allah says when He comes to the sustenance also, we have distributed the sustenance. The reason being, if Allah Ta'ala has made all wealthy, there will be no one to work. There will no one to labor. All want to become boss and manager and CEO. So Allah Ta'ala has made the system where Allah Ta'ala will give some, so others will have to work for them, and those that have the means will be kind to them also. Knowing this is not from me, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This wealth doesn't belong to me, this wealth belongs to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah has just made me an Ameen. It just made me someone to take care of this wealth. And the Hadith Sharif is very clear also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some sustenance because of the weak ones around him. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah explains that the weak ones around him are his family, his children. Allah ta'ala gave him to support them. They are the weakest ones. Now he's putting them also into business. You'll also make money. The wife will say, I want my own little money also so I don't have to ask him. So I need my own spending money, which I can do whatever I want to with it. So she's making, he's making, children are making, each one has their own car. And my own Muslim brother, there's no feeling in the heart anymore. There's no more feeling. And I know, as my Ilyas had mentioned, this is now, we find nowadays that a person may know, mashallah, was living a good life, something happened, COVID came, business went down. Had to sell his business, or he's on the market, or his property, or his house, or his vehicle. And we hear about it. See, unfortunately, we just don't have that Muslim temperament. How to think as a Muslim? Performing salah is there on his place. Going for Hajj, going for Umrah, all that on his place. وہ جسے ابھی تک وہ نفس جو اندر ہے ابھی وہ مسلمان نہیں ہوا. آؤٹ ٹو لی آئی ایم مسلم بٹ ان سائڈ مائی ہارٹ مائی نفس مائی تھنکنگ مائی مزاج مائی ٹیمپرمنٹ ہیزن بیکم مسلم ایز یٹ اسٹل ٹیکنگ اسٹل تھنکنگ کفر اسٹائل کفر شریعہ کفر سسٹم بیکاز آف دا سیکولر ایجوکیشن وی بین تھرو دا سسٹم اٹ واز دا سسٹم آف مدینہ منورہ اٹ واز ڈفرنٹ مدینہ منورہ ہاؤ مینی وزٹرز ور کمنگ دا ٹائم آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم گیسٹ ور کمنگ یو آر کمنگ ان ڈروز ان کراؤڈز دے ور کمنگ بٹ وی ہیو ہرڈ ٹوڈے ڈاکیومینٹڈ ان کتاب مدینہ ہوٹل The mehman are coming to Masjid al-Nabawi at Sahaba Ikram Bulton Hotel and you stay over there. You stay there, you got one hotel, you got a takeaway, you place your order. This is a roaring business now. Nabi of Allah is here, people are coming all over the world. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ And here, عَامُ الْوُفُودِ The year of when all the jamaats are coming in to accept Islam. Sometimes the royalties are coming, royal family, princes are coming, wealthy people are coming. And Sahaba Ikram, If they really wanted to make business now, that was the time. That was the time. That's why we read Hayat al-Sahaba, understand the lives of Sahaba, what it was about. Sahaba radiallahu anhu spent their wealth in three avenues. The first avenue they spent their wealth was on the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What is the taqaza, what is the demand right now? This battle, that battle, this jamaat is going out. How can we spend on them? Ten para, the last page. تَوَلَّوْ وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ The Sahaba Ikram in the battle of Tabuk. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, we also want to go out. But we don't have the means. I can't afford a conveyance. I don't have a sword. I don't have a shield. I don't have armor. I don't have the provisions. O Nabi of Allah, but we want to go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a lot of collection. Sat on the minbar and he asked who will contribute. And Sahaba Ikram came forward. Whatever they had, they brought. At that time, it was Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah blessed him. Allah ta'ala blessed him. And how many hundreds, if not thousands of horses that were loaded with food, with goods, with equipment. So Nabi of Allah, so much from my side. Nabi of Allah continued asking, who else is there? Again he came up. Nabi of Allah, another 100 horses, another 100 camels. Continued giving. Who will give some cash? And then he came with passes of cash. Nabi of Allah held the money in his hand, whatever he could, and from one hand to the other hand. He said, O Uthman, if after today you do no nafil, no harm to you. You've done enough already. All your nafil is covered up till your mouth. Everything, so much they give in the path of Allah. Then too, there were those that couldn't go still. Wasn't enough for them. So Quran depicts that scenario when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked the Nabi of Allah, say, anything for us? Can you equip us? We're ready to go out in the path of Allah. Nabi of Allah says, I don't have anything right now. Everything has been exhausted. We've already equipped so many men. Although there's many left behind, still want to come. So Quran says, تَوَلَّوْا They turned around. وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ And the eyes, تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ Flowing with tears, hazan out of grief and depression. Allah yajidu, they don't have anything to spend in the path of Allah. We don't have to go. We don't have anything. Ya Allah, we want to go, but we don't have the means. For myself, unfortunately, the tashkil starts. I say, yeah, I got saved. They didn't see me. Well, that's the time I'll walk out quietly. Sahaba Ikram were crying, Rabbi of Allah, we want to go. Our whole system has changed now. Now my little son sitting with me also, Papa, why are you leaving now? No, the tashkil is on. They start, they'll catch me. So he learned the same thing also. Tashkil says that he must leave. So you don't get... Sahaba Ikram went into depression when the name didn't come out. They were totally opposite than us. So that's why now we have to send the jamaat, go and catch him now, take him out in the path of Allah. Not for you. For his own benefit. But that is one system of Sahaba Ikram, where they had the desire to go. And if they weren't The skilled, they weren't made, oh, the ustaz or the sheikh didn't phone and tell him, boy, you have to come for itikaf. We're waiting for you. Oh, the ustaz will say, boy, how's your door going? Come sit in the class. Come every morning. Come do half para, do quarter para at least. He's waiting now to get out. Sahaba Ikram are waiting to get in. That when now can we? When will be the opportunity for us to go out? So one of Sahaba Ikram wanted to go out. And then those visitors that were coming in, so they say, till today you won't find one hotel in Medina Munawwara documented. The time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Medina Hotel. And here's a takeaway, Sahaba Ikram, mashallah, were making roaring business. Ghaliban, it was maybe Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The riwayat comes in Hayat al-Sahaba that the Hujjaj from Iraq came. And they heard that among the Hajis there was a Sahabi also that has come this year. The Sahabi has come this year. Imagine we hear now this one, Abdal in Makkah Mukarram, say, Subhanallah. Better go and meet him. Madina Munawwara, we hear this one, Buzruk, let's go and meet him. Once I asked Haji Naqwada Sahab also, Rahmatullah Alayh. Rai Sahibul Baqi, buried in Baqi, mashallah. And how many years in Madina Tayyibah? So once I asked him, Hazrat, in Madina Munawwara, sometimes you hear a lot of Buzruks, they should we go looking for them? You say, oh, Marana, the biggest Buzruk is in the Rawdah. Why are we looking in the haram for buzruks and ulama? Go and sit there by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's alive still. How can you go leave him and look for somebody else? Yes, if somebody by the way comes, or comes sit next to you. But you don't leave him to go and look for somebody else. He's the biggest wali. He's a nabi of the time. Till qiyamah, go and sit by him as close as possible. So anyway, the point over here is, what was the system in Madina Munawwara? When visitors were coming, what was the system? See Hayatul Sahaba. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were waiting. Nabi of Allah would ask, who will take this Jamaat has come right now, who will take them home? Who will take them home? Who will take them home? Sahabi said, I'll take 10, I'll take 20, I'll take 30. One Sahabi took 80 of them. 80 of them will go home and say, we've got 80 mehman waiting outside, she'll collapse. She'll collapse. Ya Allah, what are you talking? He brought 80 satis, all waiting outside to come and eat. It was, say, wayhak, may Allah have mercy upon you. Marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan. The mehman of Rasulullah. We were waiting for this. And how they would feed? 10 come in, feed and leave. Another 10 come, simple food. Sometimes just dry roti and some vinegar. Roti and some oil. Sahaba Ikram say, we ate. For us, we'll say, all right, the chow was all right. Let's see, my chacho is open. Just we have a quick bite over there. Slaves of the pit. Slaves of the nafs. No barakat in the food. We don't, no contentment. Sahaba Ikram ate, so then we can go and make ibadat. So she took 10 at a time, fed those 10, next 10, next 10. And from there we can gauge also how long it took them to eat. You see, Jamaat sometimes, we take them home or we feed them in the Masjid Pakistan Jamaats. Those that have had experience with them, how long they take to eat? Yusuf? 15 minutes, 20 minutes? Finished. Hardly talk, they eat 15, 20 minutes, Baisab, Jazakallah, Khair, they make dua, they're gone. Family say, they eat, gee, they eat, Alhamdulillah. They didn't come to sit and talk, they came to eat, they are mehman, they are guests, and Quran says very clearly also, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي. After that, فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث. Once you finish, eat فانتشروا. Quran says, because Sahaba Ikram was invited by Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, they came to eat. They ate and they started talking after that. So Nabi of Allah said, once I waiting for them to leave. Then Wahi came down. فَإِذَا تَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. Once you finish eat, now disperse. And don't start talking. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِي النَّبِيِّ. This talking of yours after eating causes تَكْلِيف to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. He feels shy to tell you, but Allah doesn't feel shy to mention the haq. And you finish eat, disperse. Now you've got work to do. But now the mehman will say, oh, rather the host will say, sit, sit. He'll say to sit. And then we wait, what else is coming now? You see, the real jamaats, they come to do work, they finish it and they move. We finish by Sahab Jazakallah Khairan. We'll have our own tea. We'll make our tea there in the masjid. We'll have our own tea. Unless now the tea is ready, then we'll have it quickly. So that's the tartib of eating, the sunnah tariqah of eating. So those Sahaba Ikram came, 10 of them ate and they were gone. Next 10 and they were gone. Till they fed 80 like this. Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he went for Hajj, his Iraqi delegation, they heard a Sahabi is here. So they went to meet him. When they went to meet him, I remember clearly, the riwayat comes in Hayat al-Sahaba, when they saw his khadims, attendants, and what he brought with him from Madina Munawwara, almost 300 camels, laden with goods. So, this delegation of ulama, and notables from Iraq. So they thought, instead of talking among themselves, we thought he was a Sahabi. Sahabi should come with tawakkul, with yaqeen upon Allah. So much food he brought. So many camels he brought. This is like israf. This. Now 200-300 camels, to us now, it's like he brought a plane load. Brought a plane load. So they asked his attendants, where's Amr bin As? He says, in the masjid. So when they saw his entire setup, they said, you can imagine now how he must be moving also. So they went to the masjid and he was leaving. No attendant, no khadim. Got his champers under his armpit. And he's walking out. Two sheets of cloth, bloodshot eyes, thin sahabi, and they made salam with him. By making salam with him, they could understand, but finally we met the sahabi, we qualify as tabi'in now. Become part of the hadith. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ They're good fortune. Then they asked him, after the conversation, O sahabi of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, so much he brought. So he says, if I'm not mistaken, we can just verify it. 100 camels I brought for the hujjaj to ride on them. I brought to me 100 hujjaj, paid by me. I chartered the flight myself. One man, I chartered it. 100 or 200 hujjaj I brought, and the rest of it is all food for them. And for all the mehman that will come to meet me. But for himself, nothing. Like he was in Roza. All this was for the hajis. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, feed the hujjaj, feed them, feed them, feed them. That's why our Hazrat Wala says, there was no hotel in Medina Munawwara. There was no takeaway in Medina Munawwara. The hotel were the houses of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the feeding was done at home. At that time, till recently also in the history of Islam, when it came to milk, when it came to bread, when it came to water, these commodities in Muslim countries and in Muslim areas, roti, bread was something free. If you charge for bread, in our layman's terms, you're a jutla. You're charging for bread. Such a menial thing. But you can't be such a miser. They say makki chus. You're actually charging for bread. One brother we met in Jamaat in 1 year, Yemeni brother. Yemen, alhamdulillah, is very much still like this. Alright, people that went to him, Jamaat came, they say, when you come out from the masjid, the youngster will catch your hand. They say, Ya Hajj, and the Zahir, wa Hajj, you're a visitor. Yes, wait here, I'm coming. You see, 11-year-old boy, 12-year-old boy, tells visitor, you're a visitor. First time I'm seeing you, wait here, I'm coming. The boy goes to buy a glass of juice and brings it. Hajj for you. Because you've come, you're a visitor. He'll bring something for you to eat. Where you got this from? Sahaba Ikram were like that. I get a chance now to do dua for a visitor. That you're a guest right now. And guest duas are accepted. So he said, till this is among the young children now. From his own pocket money, they go buy something for the guest. So this Yemeni Sati we had in our Jamaat. So he says, the first time he went out in the path of Allah, he returned home. Mother was very old. So she asked him, where you went? I went, khuruj fi sabilillah, out in the path of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And what you all did, and what you all ate, what you all... He says, no, we used to go, we used to cook our own food. Then we used to go buy the bread. She said, you used to buy bread. So she got a shock of her life. You see, we used to pay for something that is roti, bread, that which you throw to an animal is free, you give people is free. She said, yes, we had to buy bread. She said, inna lillahi. The ummah has gone so far from the system of Medina Sharif. So far they've gone from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but now they're selling bread. So how can that be? This is like a basic commodity to keep a human back alive, to keep his back upright, just for him to live. You mean we have to buy roti nowadays? She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it. Then you cook your own food. There's no one to host you. There's no one to feed you. So that the whole system of Medina Munawwara got changed. Whole sunnah system has changed, and even now we have become like that now. Wherever we can make a buck, make some money, let's make it. Whereas all these things are supposed to be part of humanity that feed the people. Now the soup kitchens, Kupa started. They got some humanitarian feelings in their heart. Red Cross and this organization. But they were discussing one time that how come in America, in the West, there's so many social workers and welfare workers free of charge. They take their package, we'll join the Red Cross, we'll join this certain organization, and we'll do free work, well, we know whatever they've made now, the pension funds, etc., they put it in the bank, they're getting interest, whatever, and they're doing free work. So there was discussion that how come so many of them? And among the Muslim Ummah now, we can't get so many to do free work. We have to work, we've got business, we've got... And they're taking their package, they're retiring, and they're doing welfare work. In the world, they're going. In Africa, they were Jamaat, they were in Kenya. When Jamaat was there, so they say that they were going to a certain area by bus, about 5 hour journey. And they say that that bus was such a journey of potholes, that in the Jamaat, in that bus they were discussing, that if ever this had to be a means of hidayat, just this journey, it will be a means of hidayat for mankind till Qiyamah. Such a bumpy ride. At the back of the bus, there were nuns sitting there. That bus journey not ending. So Amir Sahib told them, the Sadi, when I asked them, that, do they know how long this journey is? So he went to ask them. He said, no, this will be there. But we are here for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years. We're working on the same route. We're working on the same route. He said, I take my words back. Hidayat for mankind. These are Christian nuns that are working in this area. So, when it comes to the kuffar, how come they're doing work? He said, because they believe in the rapture theory. The rapture theory, that before the Qiyamah, Jesus will come and the rapture will take place. If you're a good Christian, and whether you're at home, whether you're in the bus, whether you're in the air, whether you're out in the sea, there'll be like a rapture and Jesus will pick you up and take you to heaven. He'll pick you up and he'll take you to heaven. So they're already preparing for Jesus. That's why they're doing free work in the world. Because so much yaqeen on batil, on falsehood. So they've given up their lives, we become good people. Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Muslim, we'll feed you. We'll take care of you. We'll clothe you. But the Muslim is looking for where I can make a buck over here now. I'll supply. I'll give the charity and I'll supply also it. So I'll make a bit of cut over there just to cover the costs. And we make it there also. And we give some, we distribute. The mind is working like that. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the first thing they spent the wealth was on the taqaza of deen. What was the demand right now? The battles, etc. Second was spent on the mihman and the guests of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam in Madinah al-Munawwara. Jamaats came, they would feed them, spend upon them. But the Talha radiallahu anhu, Abu Talha was it? The Nabi Ali Salatu Salam had a guest who will take him home. But Talha said, I'll take him home tonight. Took him home, he said, but just wait outside. Houses were small, and to the house, ask the wife anything to feed. We got a guest of Rasulullah s.a.w. anything to feed them. She says, wallahi, we don't have anything. We just have a little bit for the children. I will pass the night at least. You see, that is the case. Just leave the water boiling on the stove. So the children will think now that the food is getting prepared. Prepare the food quietly. Leave the water to boil. And just lull them to sleep. In this way, the children slept hungry. They didn't eat. They fell asleep. Food was prepared. He told her, we'll make a plan, you and I. Because we've got to host him. We can't leave him alone. Parda and hijab wasn't already ordained. So I'll call him in. We lay out the food. And so to say, by mistake, put off the light, the candle, the lamp. Put it off. And we'll eat in the dark. So what we'll do, we'll just move our mouths. As if we are eating, but we'll let him eat everything. Because only enough for him to be satisfied. And they did it like this. They stayed hungry, children stayed hungry. Next morning, wahi came them. Wahi came down. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَنَبِيَ فَاللَّهِ They are those amongst your people that give preference to others over themselves, even though they are in dire straits and need. The Sahaba Ikram came for Salah. Oh my Sahaba, who fed a guest last night? Who fed a guest last night? He kept quiet. He said, wahi has come down. Somebody has given preference over his own family. And Talha said, it was me, O Nabiya of Allah. Mubarak to you. Wahi has come down in regards to you. So much is given the path of Allah like this. They fed them, they fed them, they fed, and they earned the Jannah like that. Masir Ahmad Khan Sahib was here, Rahmatullah Alayh. One amal of Sahaba Ikram pull on wahi from the sky. Pull on wahi, and you want the same glad tidings, let's do it also. Jamaats come, is that the tabligh jamaats? It's my jamaat, they came to make a fit in my area. I can feed them, bring something for them, whatever I can do for them. I want to share in it also. So many kar guzaris we can mention, but we don't have the time for it. In Pakistan, there's one short kar guzari also, one jamaat and out in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They came to an area where they don't host jamaats, not allowed in this area. They came in the masjid, nobody was there, so they put the saman, they put sleeping bags there, trustees came, imam sahab came, jamaat, they said, get out, no jamaats in this area. There are areas there. they don't subscribe to Jamaat, etc. So they kicked them out. And the Jamaat took 2-3 days to get to that area, Pathan Jamaat. And with them, they carry their flour with them. They make their roti and they suffice from chana and some roti. And they're happy with that. So they kicked us out on the street. Sleeping bags, everything on the street. They say, we got our atta, we got our flour with us, or we have our roti. It's not baked as yet. Sitting there now, we're hungry. So many days journey, finally we came here. One old lady was passing by. Old lady is passing by, so they saw, so she made salam with them. They said, Ma, will you cook our, bake our roti for us? She said, no problem. Who are you all? We said, no, we're Jamaat. Oh, Jamaat's not allowed here. Sorry, I won't be. He said, please, we'll pay you for it. Whatever money we got, we'll give it to you, we'll pay you. But please make our roti for us, we'll eat the night, we'll sleep, and tomorrow we'll leave. So she got enticed, large amount of money, so she took it. She took the dough, took it back home, she baked the roti for them, she brought it and she gave it to them. They paid her the money. Next morning, they're about to leave, this lady comes back, this old lady. With the same amount of money, she wants to return it. Where's the Amir Sahab? I want to give it back to him. She said, no, Ma, we already paid you, we told you, it was a deal done. I can't keep this money. And she had almost a fight with them. I'm not taking this money. Ma, what happened? What are you upset about? She says, last night after I went home, after giving you all the roti and the bread, I fell asleep. In my sleep, never before in my life did I see such a beautiful woman. Such a beautiful lady. I can't even describe her beauty and chastity. She came to me with such a smile, fragrant. And she came up to me and she made salam. And she asked me to extend my arms and my hands to her. So I picked up my hands. She took my hands and she smelt it. She smelt it and she kissed it. Then I asked her, who are you? Oh, most beautiful woman. I haven't seen a most beautiful and chaste woman like you. What is your name? They say, I am Fatima radiallahu anha. I am Fatima radiallahu anha. And my Abbajan, my beloved father, is so proud of you that you fed his mehman. He wants to come and smell your hands, his fragrance of Jannat coming out from your hands because you made roti for them. He wants to come and kiss your hands and he wants to smell it. She said, how can I now charge you for that roti for which I had a dream like this? Just feeding the mehman of Allah. So this, till today we have so many karguzaris like this. Just feeding the mehman, or just guests that are coming also. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. So 1/3 of their wealth was spent in the path of Allah, taqaza of deen, demand of deen. Second part of it was spent on the guests that will come. And the third part, ulama say, was the leftover. The last third, if there was a third, was left over for the families to run the house. If there was anything left. Otherwise, it was poverty. Now to understand, Sahaba Ikram were not poor people. They were farmers, they were businessmen. So they were, usually we hear they were poor people. They were not poor, they had money. But they made themselves poor by spending everything in the path of Allah. They spent it in the path of Allah till they became poor. This is Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So the last third was left. So ulama say for us nowadays is the opposite way tartib. You spend enough on your family, so no complaints. Sahaba ikram's wives, sahabiyat tell their husbands, Iyaka wal haram. Iyaka wal haram. Fa inna nasbiru ala al-ju' wa la nasbiru ala nari jahannam. They tell their husbands when they leave the home in the morning that, oh my husband, be careful of haram. Don't bring haram home. We can be patient upon hunger, but we cannot be patient upon the fire of Jahannam. Don't bring Jahannam home. We can, when it comes to poverty and starvation and famine, then we can make sabr. But don't bring haram in the house. So ulama say, his mission, this kitab also, Sufyan Thawri rahimullah said, and he was very close to the time of Nubuwwat. He will say the time of the Ummah has come now, and talking his zaman, maybe about 100 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will say that now the Ummah doesn't have that amount of Iman. So for the Ummah, he says, actually it's commendable for them to have enough money by them. Because their wealth, their money will assist them to worship Allah and to be obedient to Allah and to come upon deen. So they should have enough by them. Where Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, without any means, the Iman was so strong that they were still able to fulfill deen 100%. Say, with us we can't do it. We don't have it. We say, we can't do it. We can't make it. He says, now the Ummah must have enough money by them. Halal money, because this will be an assistance to them to obey Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So this is now, so coming back to now this whole riba system, usury system. Now the hadith sharif say, لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب نفسه. That the wealth of a Muslim, is it halal for you except if his heart is happy? If he's happy to give you his wealth, then it's halal for you. Is it halal? That's why we tell those that do collection also, don't go and pull out the money from that person. He's just giving you now because they want to get rid of you. That money is spiritual, that halal. There's no barakat in it. Because you pulled it out from him. Like I'll say, he hashed me, he came, he told me this, finally I give him. Just to get rid of him. There's no barakat in it. La yahillu. Together with this, you see, modern day extortion. Modern day. Allah gives the example we're having, what they call it, a baby shower. Baby shower, you see, modern day extortion. What it means now, and they say also that please they have there on the invitation, don't bring this type of gifts, or don't bring that type already. Meaning you must come with something. Modern day extortion. So you have to come with something, and if you come also, better you leave the receipt inside in case we have to return it. Sometimes we all got the same thing. It's modern day. So whether she wants to take it or don't want to take, I have to take something. This in reality is no barakat. Should tell them, please don't come with anything. Baby has everything, alhamdulillah. Just come with du'as. Just come and make du'a only. That's what we should be saying on those invitations. And I have it now for, yes, we understand, okay, baby shower is easier for the family. Otherwise, what's going to happen now? That Saturday and Sunday, there will be no sleeping for the baby or the mother. Visitors are going to come the whole day, Saturday and Sunday. Whole day that bell will be ringing. So better we have one time, family will come, mashallah. See the baby, there's muhabbat, etc. No problem. But tell them you don't need any gifts. And ulama say specifically, if you have to take any hadiah, the best hadiah is cash. Best hadiah is cash. Person can do what they want with it. They say whether you're giving family, whether you're giving children, whether you're giving somebody got a baby, or somebody is going for Hajj, or somebody is going for Umrah, or somebody is going. The best hadiah is cash. You see, even the person who's to give is an ustaz also, some hadiah. Now, what I mentioned now, he said, now how many frames are you going to put in the house now? Everybody bring him a frame. He said, frame to the other is sunnah thing, but you're putting frames everywhere. That frame, whatever is there now, supposed to be in the heart. But now you put it in the wall. Ayatul Kursi, Asma'ul Husna, to decorate the wall. He said, sir, it's sunnah that. You decorate the wall. You're just taking up space for nothing. And then the amount of layan is taking place in the lounge, but Allah's name is everywhere. He said, now we should avoid these things. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimullah, when he went to Bangladesh, and he was leaving, then he called all the satis there. Now they all brought hadiah for Hazrat Hakim Sahib, and in Bangladesh, the best hadiah in their mind is lungi. So how many hundreds of lungis Hazrat had over there? He said, dekho bhai, akal se kaam lo. He says, use your brains a little bit. So many lungis each of one of you all brought for me. If I take this back to Karachi, Pakistan, the customs will lock me up. They think I'm importing lungis. I don't want to pay customs. He says, what am I going to do all this thing now? If I don't take yours, you're going to get upset. If I don't take yours, you're going to get upset. Now quietly, I might give somebody else's hadiah, and you might see it. He says, but I bought that for Hazrat, and I gave it away. He says, the sunnah tariqah of giving hadiah is the best is to give cash. Now you might think, hey, if I give Hazrat cash, he'll think that I think he's poor, he doesn't have money. He says, no. You write in the envelope, hadiah muhabbat, gift of muhabbat. This is sunnah. Hadiah muhabbat. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimahullah, mashallah, he taught us this also. When you go to Karachi, and the sunnah way also is to give it with your own hand. Why the hadu tahabbu? Exchanging gifts creates love. It creates muhabbat and love. So when we went some time ago with Abu Hazrat Wala also, I told Hazrat Wala, I have some hadiah for Hazrat Hakim Sahib, somebody has sent. So what do we say? You tell Hazrat, you give it. He said, no. You give it. Because he needs to see who brought it, who are you, so it registers in his mind. So next time when he sees you, he'll remember. Not that now you sent it, and the next time you meet the Hazrat, now, I don't know whether he got the hadiah, he doesn't sing anything, didn't make salam to me properly, and I sent so much for him. Now there's no muhabbat. So the maqsad of the hadiyah is to create muhabbat, not the amount of money I'm giving. Here's the amount, who says, subhanAllah, so much you gave, appreciate it, jazakallah khairan. Register in the ustaz's mind, or the sheikh, or the alim, he remember you. Now when he raises his hands to make dua, he remember, person gives so much, Allah bless him, give him barakat, give him taqwa, give him iman. So when we went there, in the room also to give Hazakim Saab, he had stroke by that time. Only one hand he could move. So Hazrat told me now, he told Hazakim Saab, Hazrat, certain person is here, his name is so and so, he brought hadiah for you. Acha, acha. It wasn't like quietly too. Everybody standing there. So the Khadim told me, he says, take out the envelope and show him the envelope, take out the dollars from there and give him one by one. Give him one by one. He was teaching everybody a lesson also. Not that he was a muhtaj in need of it. He's actually doing you a favor by accepting your hadiah. Now we feel it the other way around. If the Shaykh accepting the hadiah, he's doing you a favor actually. By doing that for you now, Allah's muhabbat for you would increase because you are giving this only for the pleasure of Allah. And he took each note and he touched it and he felt it. He looked at me, said, Jazakallah khair. Now you felt that muhabbat. There's a link created now. This is muhabbat. This is how you give the gift also. So khair, what are you talking about? Huh? Yeah. What was the point then? Ah, so is that halal to take the wealth of a person without his pleasure? So modern day extortion. So yes, we're having this now. Baby hadiah, give the cash for baby so and so. Masla also, it should be given for the baby if it's cash. If it's some clothing items, some toys, etc. You want to give that, then it should be for the parents. I'm giving this to the mother or the father. So they can do as they wish with it. If it's for the baby, then they've got to keep it. That baby is a romper now, they'll have to keep it till the baby is 15 years old. 15-year-old baby. Says, here's a romper, came so and so, gave for you. Now what are you going to do with it? Because it belongs to the baby. Right? Put it in the safety deposit box. When it gets big, I will give it to you then. Or, what we say, that now, because it was given to the baby, and we can't keep it anymore, now usually more than often now what we do is, that clothes now we put in the bag, the mother's nephew was born or niece was born, give it to the sister, they'll use it there, they'll use it there. Is that permissible? Because it belongs to the baby. If you want to use it, then the parent has to put a price to all that clothes that was given as hadiah to the baby. Put a maximum price and put that cash in the baby's account as savings. Then you can do whatever you want with it. So when we're giving now to the parent, mother, it's for you. You do as you want to. You can put it for this child or that child or for your niece, your nephew. You can do as you want to. But the best hadiah is still cash. Best hadiah is still cash, as we are taught by the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Sahaba. If we come back to this system, my dear brothers, there is no need for Eid shopping. Alhamdulillah. No need for Muharram shopping. Alhamdulillah. No problem. Best hadiah is cash. Father wants to give hadiah, do we have to choose as soon as they come? Hadiah for you. Or give them an envelope is better. Give it to them in their hand, the muhabbat is created. And this is what you do. Idi, idi. You know, by hadiyah, we still have, that is still the original, Allah shukr. So we have all this thing according to the original. Life has become very simple. Becomes very, very simple. Then we don't have to have all this type. Now, we know what's happening. When certain thing comes in the market, everybody bought it now. One musalla, now it's a Muharram time, or it's a certain occasion now. And how many of the one thing you get now? You say, Allah, what do I do with this now? Ether burners came out now, something rechargeable ones, then you're sitting with a dozen of it at home. Oh, now, wife going to buy so many. Now what do you do with so many? And so expensive. Then it doesn't work. Then they want the warranty. Then you go send it back for repairs. Just give the cash. Simple as that. Nobody will feel bad. Hadiyah muhabbat. It creates muhabbat. We'll save so much of money. Right now, just the gift bag itself is another industry. Another industry, just to buy the gift bag. And now the chocolates we're giving also, we're putting our name on it. Sometimes putting Bismillah, Allah's name. Now we can't throw it away. The wrapper or the bag. It's so simple. We want to, no problem, buy some nice envelopes. Put the cash in there, seal it up from so and so. Now people are buying already printed from so and so and family. Hadiyah Muhabbat. You got the reward of fulfilling the sunnat. 100 martyrs reward you got, alhamdulillah. Fulfill the sunnat. This is the easiest, that's the best. Couple getting married also, give them cash. Best thing. Start them off with cash, alhamdulillah, they'll thank you for it. Now you're going to buy them certain different items. Now so many kettles you're sitting with, so many toasters. What are you going to do all of this now? Allah Ta'ala give us understanding to come back to the sunnah. So this is one example now, modern day extortion. Ilyas Patel Sahib, he gives the example. You know, my certain friend now is going down, losing his properties. Now the banks are possessing, they assume no possess. So, it's unfortunately Muslim people's mind work like this. The guy is going down, hey, here's, we get a luck over here. Here's a luck, he's got it in the market for 2.5, he'll offer me 1.5 cash, but I take it, cash. I put it, tonight I bring it, parcel, cash. The guy is already now in quicksand, he's going down. What is the sunnah? Go and hold his hand. Why, here's the money. Alhamdulillah, I got enough, I'm eating enough, Allah shukr. Allah bless you, let's save your property. What du'as he will make for you? His generations will make du'a for you. His children will come to know, alhamdulillah, and so a person helped me out in life. We're living on du'as and barakats. But here he says now, the whole kufr concept now is going down, here's the luck. He's losing his car. Tell him, make him an offer by one. Mad offer, he can't refuse. Tell him, upload the EFT now. Send me your EFT details, I'll pick up the car tomorrow. You know he's losing on the car. He's going to go away. But here's the luck. There's not a Muslim heart. There is not a Muslim heart to see your brother going down and push him more down and make him a zakat recipient. And when he comes to help after that, then you question him, but you sure you don't have anything else, huh? Now you really want to make sure he's a zakat recipient. In fact, we advise the brothers, they have properties also, we've got widows staying there. We have families that are battling there. And nowadays to become a zakat recipient is not difficult. To become a zakat recipient is not difficult. Because the zakat nisab right now is about 9,000 rand. If a person has 9,000 rand by him, savings, pure savings, everything is paid for, no debts, no accounts, everything. He's got 9,000 rand, then he pays zakat. How many in our locality, over by the surrounding, that are working class, are earning more than 10,000? Even 15,000. And he pays his rental, 5,000. He's only got 10. Water, light, children, etc. How much is left with? He's already a zakat recipient in the first week of the month. Doesn't have anything. He's just carrying on. It's very easy. So here's the whole discussion altogether. So here Allah Ta'ala gives us an understanding. In the meantime, his so-called brother is becoming richer and richer from the inability of this poor person to pay his debt. This is a clear tyranny. Consider the following comparative illustration. We'll just read this inshallah. 10 people deposit their money, 1,000 rand each, with a 10% interest rate. The bank collectively has 1 million rands. A rich merchant requests the bank for 1 million rand loan, payable at 15%. The rich merchant has 1 million rands at his disposal and uses his business skill and influence and earns 100% profit on the 1 million rands. He has to pay the bank the 1 million rands and 150,000 rand in interest. He earns for himself 850,000. The bank will give his depositors 10,000 rand each and keep for himself 50,000 rand. This is total injustice, as a rich person uses the wealth of the poor and makes 850,000 rand, whereas the poor only get 10,000 rand each. Consider the Islamic system of the above example. The Islamic system now. The 10 people would enter into a partnership of 1 million rand, each putting 1,000 rand. So, is it 1,000? 100,000, sorry, 100,000. The 10 people would enter into a partnership of 4 million rands with the rich merchant, at an agreed ratio of 50% profit sharing. The 1 million rand profit will be divided between the two parties at 500,000 rand. Each partner will earn 50,000 rand profit as opposed to the meager 10,000 rand interest. In Islam, this type of oppression has been prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends and commands that people deal with one another in a moral and ethical manner. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed certain conditions and laws for every sphere of life. Islam is unique from all other religions in that we are guided even in our monetary dealings. If a person offers a loan to his brother, he is prohibited from taking any excess amount for his good deed. You can't. You just lend somebody money, there's no profit on that. Yes, it's from his side now. Without any precondition, after paying the debt, if he wants to give you something extra, this hadiyah, this halal permissible. But there's no talk of it before that, there's no precondition before that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will repay his act of kindness in the hereafter. If the creditor wants to profit from his money as well, then he can enter into a joint venture with his poorer brother. By doing so, both partners will share in the profit of the business together, and if there happens to be any loss, both brothers will share in the loss together. This promotes brotherhood and humanity among mankind as opposed to the system of usury which supports enslavement and oppression of the poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger alayhi salatu wasalam declared interest is haram. He also declared the first interest to be wiped, the first interest to be put, he declared that the first interest to be put is the interest of his uncle Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib to be wiped out. There was some interest dealings there. So he says the first interest I'm wiping out is the interest of my uncle Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was a very wealthy person. At that time, the interest due to him was 10,000 gold coins. All the interest. When he made it haram, he said, my uncle's interest due to him is wiped out, is maaf. Nobody should pay him back the interest money. 10,000 dinars. A dinar is a gold coin of 4.4 grams of gold. We can work out now. See, today was the price of gold, 1 gram. 4.4 grams. Per gram. So 4.4 will work out to how much? Huh? Huh? What are you looking at? For 1 dirham. 1 dinar. Okay, this is over to you. We can do the math now, inshallah. Alright? 10,000 gold coins. Wiped it out. One coin about 6,000-7,000 rand. So 1,000 gold coins. So I've got some example. A dinar is a gold coin of 4.4 grams. 1,000 gold coins will be approximately 44 kilos of gold. 44 kilos of gold as 1,000 coins. So this is 10,000. So 40 kilos. 40 kilos of gold is how much? That's how you get up. Sixty million. Wiped out. 60 million. Wiped out. One command of Allah wiped out. وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. So he says, a dinar is a gold coin of 4.4 grams. 1,000 gold coins will be approximately 44 kilos of gold. So 1 kilo of gold is presently approximately 1 million rand. That's 44 kilos will be 44 million. Hazrat Abbas, this is that time. The Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu could have purchased a huge chunk of the Arabian Peninsula at that time. But he forfeited that amount as it was interest. Wiped it out. They lived on barakat. Allah ta'ala gave us understanding yaqeen also. From here we can see a Muslim system is different of business. If we adopt the Muslim system of business, we don't need the bank. Each wealthy Muslim businessman will be a bank of his own. Bank for who? My poor brothers. Come, you go and join venture. I'm eating enough, you also eat. You feed your children also, educate them, send them madrasa, make them ulama, make them hafiz, send them in the path of Allah. So from his own personal bank, he's got a share, maybe all the darulums now. He got students here, that family, this family, all partnership, alhamdulillah. So that entire backs of all the children over there, mashallah, they got a share in them. Tomorrow they'll be the imams. They got a share in that, and the entire congregation got a share in it. Because we're all running our own things together, alhamdulillah. That's a Muslim system. That's a Muslim banking system. If we all come onto this with clear hearts, with mashwaras, then we don't need the banks after that. There's no barakat in it. That's why we find today, unfortunately, that the poor despise the wealthy ones. There's hatred. You got daggers. And commonly the woman will say, too much nazar on us. The woman will say, too much nazar on us. But now she's sharing with her neighbor and her family people, and they're also having a good life. They're comfortable also. They don't have anything. They want. In fact, there's one incident mentioned about Mansur, the king, I think. If I remember the incident now. There were three friends, and they all were having a bit of a difficult time. So the wife of one of the friends told him, "Say, why don't you do something? Go to your friends, get a loan. Eid day is coming. We have daughters. They have nothing to wear. Difficult time. We only want to have enough food for Eid day also." So he felt shy. Go ask your friends. Go ask this one. Go ask that one. At least do something for the children. At least not for us. For you. At least for the kids. Look at all the friends, how they enjoy. We don't have anything. Finally, he took up the himmat and the courage. And he went to one of his friends and he asked him. He says, give me a few days. Give me a few days. And even the amount is mentioned, I can't recall right now. So then the parcel came. The whole bag of money came. Wife was ecstatic. Wife was ecstatic. And something has come. As he received this parcel, he received a note from his other friend. He said, oh my Muslim brother, I'm in dire straits. I don't have anything at home right now. Eid is coming. And my daughters don't even have clothes. There's no food at home. Will you assist me? So he shows his wife. His wife, she broke down. He says, how can we use this money? Send it to him. So she sent it to him. Sent the parcel to that friend's house. And as the day came to Eid, then the king called up a meeting with three friends, more or less, I remember clearly. And Allah's taqdeer, these three that he called up were these three friends. So he's looking at him. He said, what are you doing here? So the king called them, the Khalifa of the time. And the same parcel that went to the second friend came back now to this original person. Sorry, came back to the first person. The first person, when he saw the parcel, so he asked the second friend, where you got this from? He says, from a certain friend. So this whole story went to the king. What happened here really was, this brother went to ask his first friend for assistance. He was in dire straits. He just got some money, came in, finally. And his friend came to ask him for help. I have daughters, I don't have anything. So he said, give me a few days. He rounded things together, whatever it was, and he sent the entire parcel for this friend. When he got this parcel, the second friend sent a note to him, please could you help me? He felt ashamed, he sent it to him. When he reached him, that first friend sent a note to this friend over here, that I don't have anything right now, can you assist? So he sent his original parcel back to him, not knowing it was from him. This was the Islamic system. So the Khalifa heard about it. He heard about it and he called them up, or he didn't call them up, he heard about it. And the amount of money that each one supposed to get was about 2,000 gold coins, something like that. So he sent to each of these women 4,000 gold coins. On behalf of the Khalifa, I heard the story of the big heartedness of the woman of the Muslim Ummah. Such big heart you'll have. So out of my muhabbat for the deen of Allah, I send him for you all now on the royal treasury. How the barakat came. What you supposed to get originally, Allah Ta'ala doubled it. Allah Pak doubled it. So this, they would look for opportunities, who we can send to and help. So this is a Muslim system, a Muslim society. Nowadays we don't know what's happening in the house, it's their story. We don't want to get involved. And the biggest thing is, the nazar on our family. Nazar. Who's making the nazar? We making the nazar. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu.